So your relationship obviously progressed and you got married.
Well, before we got married, I like I said, I had the realization that I was supposed to leave my current job working for the mortgage company. So I started my job on the ambulance in Little Rock, and I kind of had this new sense of purpose. I was actually doing something that actually benefited someone else versus myself.
I'm sorry, so you left the insurance job?
Yeah, I left the mortgage company.
And you applied for this EMT job.
Right, because while working for you, I went through, went to EMT school.
Right.
So I started my job on an ambulance, and I enjoyed it in the beginning, and I realized that it was the right thing to do. It was not necessarily what, obviously God willed it to happen, but I had a feeling that this was starting back on the right track, starting back on the correct pathway.
So this was around what month?
I started in May.
So you were with the insurance company for only, what, 2 months?
Maybe 4 months total, 3 or 4 months total. So I started on the ambulance. I enjoyed it, but I still do. It was just, it wasn't where I'm supposed to be, but it was a good start. So I knew that this wasn't it for me, but it was a good place to start from where I had been. So I started to understand what suffering really was. Obviously, there's a misconception that people in the ambulance that work, you know, on an ambulance or firefighters or police officers, they constantly see terrible things. It's actually more 95% of the job is not that bad. It's very standardized, you know, take people to the hospital for a cough, you know, just very, very basic and not very traumatic things. But the other 5% can be hard sometimes. So in that 5%, I realized what actual suffering was, you know, true hardship.
So, I mean, you see...
I see other people
hurt.
Right. I see my...
Dying.
See patients and patients' families actually suffer.
And dealing with sick relatives, right?
Right.
Or family members.
Right. Right. So that's when I kind of started to, I had kind of revisited the idea that I had learned before that not everything can be explained by medicine. These people have been sick for, you know, some of these people that we would encounter have been sick for 20, 30 years and they're still not healed. So it's just things that, you know, there's definitely, it kind of planted, you know, the seed of, you know, there's a higher purpose behind some things.
There's a higher power behind.
Right.
The worldly functions.
And I didn't understand it, but it kind of, I could start to see it. I didn't understand it, I couldn't explain it, but I kind of began to feel it and see it. So I worked on an ambulance in Little Rock from May to January of 2021. So from May 2021 to January 2022. Then I started at a new company, closer to home, still working on an ambulance, but I got a pretty substantial pay increase, and we also got married in January. Right before I switched company, we got married, and we actually moved in together and moved out of my parents' house. And obviously, being newly married and not making that much money is an issue. And we, for the first couple of months, we were constantly worrying about money. We never fought about money, but It was a worry, and this was the first time that I actually decided to let go in my life and trust that God would take care of us. And that doesn't mean that we would get what we wanted, but it's that we would get what we needed, even if what we needed isn't what we thought we needed, you know? So we decided that that we weren't going to worry about money anymore. It wasn't going to be... We would do our best, but it wasn't going to be a concern for us anymore. So fast forward again to September of...
Now hold on, so when you got the pay raise, when you moved job, how did that affect your ego? Did you fall back into the same trap?
Well, it wasn't the pay raise that did when I started.
So you were able to buy a new car.
Yeah.
You moved out, you have your own house.
Well,
how did that
affect it? It was more the fact that I began to do things on my own. So I kind of started to have that feeling again of I'm able.
Self-sufficiency.
Yeah, self-sufficiency. And when I started my new job, I received a lot of praise again from people that I had worked with, and that again didn't help anything. So
did that bring back?
It brought back a little bit of arrogance, but it wasn't, relatively speaking, it wasn't to the level of what it was before, because I had actually experienced some humility working on the ambulance.
So you obviously learned from your
past experience. I did learn, but it crept back into my mind. The idea is
that. So how did you deal with that?
I allowed it to happen, and I was proud of myself for a while until I got sick again.
Okay, so you fell into the same trap.
I did, yeah. I fell into the same trap, and I did the same things that I did previously, which was, believing in self-sufficiency and
Feeling entitled again.
Right, feeling entitled, being arrogant. Especially, and I don't know if it's because of the culture of where I, the job that I do, but especially at work, extremely arrogant. While at work, I was very...
Because you feel like you have power over people because they're dying, they're sick, and they're dependent on
right.
you, right?
So, right. You have someone that needs you.
Yeah.
So you become very...
They're at your mercy at that time because
right.
they're in an emergency.
Right. So while there was some humility there, it quickly became, again, more of a complex issue. I had this idea that you need me, but I don't need you type thing.
And I'm smarter than you, better than you.
Right. So, and it's crazy because it's almost the same time frame. In September of last year, of 2022, I got sick again. Same thing. I went to sleep, no issues. Living a normal 21-year-old life, freshly married. I woke up sick, same thing, throwing up. It's crazy because it's the exact same thing. I kind of got better, kind of didn't. I reached out to you again, not that I reached out to you again, but I had told you that I was sick, because we still talked, but it was, that I had gotten sick. And we went through the whole thing again, the tests, the medicines, the blood work, the office visits, and searching for answers, but with none, with no relief. And I will say this time it was actually more severe, the sickness, I feel like. I had, of course, working a physical job, if you're not eating right, you can feel it more. And the schedule that I was working can be very hard sometimes, especially when you're not eating right. Working for 48 hours without being able to eat is very difficult, and it wears you down even more. And plus, I had just started paramedic school, so I had that on top of it. Work, school, having a wife at home, and then getting sick again, it was a lot harder this time than it was last time, because I had more obligations. And started looking for answers, and we tried this, tried the medicine, tried the diet, with very little success.
So what was your spiritual life at this point? What was your relationship with God like?
It was very lukewarm. People have the, like it's, people say that they're lukewarm, That was me. Church on Sundays, but outside of that, not a whole lot of not a whole lot else. I didn't have very much of a relationship, just a belief again. So I started to take these medicines and thought and relied on the medicines to help me feel better. And that's very exhausting, because when they don't work, because they're not meant to work, when they don't work, it's very discouraging. And then you start getting the side effects from these medicines, which is even more discouraging, because you think this is supposed to help you, but in fact it doesn't. It just makes things worse. And it's like you get brought up and then you get pulled back down to earth. Every time I got sick, I was talking to you one day, and you made a comment about the book of Job in the Bible. And you also kind of started to begin to guide me more when it came to having a relationship with God. So, you know, after the medicines don't work and, you know, again, this is probably, I don't know, what would you say, probably January, early January, you know, months of feeling sick again, you know, you're looking for anything that would help, anything that can relieve you of feeling sick. You start to just grasp for anything that can help. So I read the book of Job, and without getting into, you know, the debates and the arguments about, you know, does, you know, healing and all that stuff, I felt for the first time in my spell of being sick, I felt like it was going to be okay. Like,
while you were reading the book of Job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you were reading this while you went to work, right?
I was reading it at work. It was probably midnight on my second day at work. So I was exhausted. I was 40 hours into work, 41 hours into being at work. And I was completely exhausted, I mean, my eyes were falling asleep. My eyes were closing on me. I was falling asleep, and because we'd been busy all day, and I was hungry. And I read the book of Job, and I, for once, it was like whenever you offered me the job, it was like the sense of light that kind of first came up. I kind of had this newfound joy, but it was different. It was the fact that I was sick, but this has happened to someone else before.
So did you finish the whole book of Job?
Yeah, I read the whole book of Job.
So what was the main thing what was in it that woke you up? Like, what was the light bulb moment when you read that?
Well, again, without getting into the arguments on whether God allowed people to get sick or not, reading that God allowed Job to be sick for a higher purpose, it reconciled me to realize that there was a higher purpose beyond what I was feeling.
Yeah.
And what I had experienced.
So I guess reading that book allowed you to see somebody else's life evolve,
right,
as they suffer.
Reading about Job, you know, go back and forth between suffering and, you know, his peers around him saying what they did, you know, it was very, I could apply it to my life, like, almost perfectly. And seeing Job go from no worries in the world to down, you know, at the bottom of the depths, and then coming back out of that, it was very inspiring. And it wasn't the fact that it's not the fact that I chose to believe it because of the outcome. I didn't want to be sick because of the outcome. You know, Job got blessed three times what he had lost. It wasn't that I was waiting for the 3x, you know, gift afterwards. It was the simple fact that there was a reason behind it.
Mm.
It allowed me to actually be at rest.
So it wasn't necessarily that you were comforted knowing that somebody else suffered like you. It was more because you saw in real time how somebody could suffer, and you're able to see their life in a panoramic view and see the reason for it and the outcome. Is that correct?
That's right. I am seeing, you know, reading the full book of Job, you see him go, you know, start, you know, for instance, you know, he starts on the mountain and then ends up in the valley, but then he eventually comes back up on the mountain. It was very...
So it gave you hope.
Yeah, it's very inspiring, and it gave me a sense of hope.
So what if Job's story ended in the valley? Like, he never got better, he never got the...
Well, like I said, it was...
Threefold reward.
Well, like I said, it wasn't the fact that he got, you know, three times the blessing afterwards. That's not what gave me hope. It was the simple fact that he was serving a purpose. That was, and even to this day, I'm not waiting on the 3x multiplier of blessing afterwards. It's the simple fact that he served a purpose for the living God.
So what did you think his purpose was? What did you think the purpose of his suffering was?
Well, in the book of Job, it says that God allowed Satan to inflict things on Job. I don't remember exactly what, you know, the first time he tried to take, I'm trying to remember, the first time it didn't do anything to Job. Job did not budge. He didn't curse God or anything. Mm-hmm. And the second time, I believe, was when he, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm trying to recall, he eventually started to kind of forsake God, right?
No, he never, I don't think he ever denied God, but his friends were asking him to curse God.
That's right. So when, basically when it was proof that God allowed things to happen for a certain reason, mm-hmm. for a higher purpose, that alone was enough for me to actually have rest. Because the medicines, the dieting, the lifestyle changes, nothing gave me the kind of rest versus knowing that.
So what do you think? So now if you look at your life, say you're Job now. Mm-hmm. So what do you think is the purpose of all your suffering? Twice over, right?
Right.
The first time you got sick, you got better. And then you got sick again.
Well, so. Obviously I don't know, but no one goes through life without hardships. And mm-hmm. I would actually go out on a limb and say that my hardships have been very minimal compared to others. I would say that I've been very blessed in my life without any hardships. And I think that possibly one of the reasons is that there will come a time where I will have a, quote, actual hardship where things look terrible and things don't seem like they're going to be okay. So if this prepares me for that, it's worth it. But also, if that's not the case, let's say I never get sick again, I never experience any kind of hardship again. If I can experience what it's like to suffer for a higher purpose, you know, quote, suffer for a higher purpose, and share my story and explain the newfound hope and the peace beyond all explanation to someone that is in the storm, that alone would be worth the suffering. Because, and Charles Stanley says that you're either, there's three parts of your life and they rotate constantly. You're either in a storm, coming out of a storm, or going into a storm. And you constantly go between those three. So if I can help someone that's in a storm or about to go into a storm or coming out of one, it's all worth it.
So do you think you've turned a corner?
I think I have. You know, everyone has their moments.
From a spiritual standpoint, not right. A medical standpoint.
Right. You know, everyone has their moments, and I still have mine where, you know, I want to take the quick fix. You know, I want to take the pill and feel better. I want to have the medicine that I can just take the pill and it all be gone. I still have those moments, but generally speaking, I'm okay with the fact that as long as it's for a higher purpose, I could remain this way for a long time without.
Right. So you've turned a corner in your spiritual life.
Right.
In the sense that I want it to come from you. So
yeah. So
what does it look like in the other corner?
So
if you've turned a corner, what is it turning the corner?
I've grown out of my impulsiveness, the need for the quick fix, the need for the everything to be okay.
So you're okay to not be okay.
Right.
For as long as...
As long as necessary.
Yeah. So what do you think? Do you think you've found your purpose in life?
I think my purpose in life is to serve God. I don't necessarily know exactly what the details are, but if I can share my story like this and it helps one person, whether they're a believer or a non-believer, or if they are in a storm or whatever, if it helps one person, then the suffering is worth it.
So let's say tomorrow morning you wake up,
mm-hmm.
you're completely healed,
mm-hmm.
life's good again,
mm-hmm.
and it stays good for a while.
Mm-hmm. My main focus would be the tether between me and God.
Do you think you're how would you handle that next challenge now? So the challenge here is not when you're sick.
Right.
The challenge here is when you're feeling good, right?
Right. Yeah, the challenge is remaining humble and remaining...
Right.
Having humility. And I think that seeing both sides of the coin now about, you know, going from being, you know, humble to being self-sufficient in my mind and then going back to being humble, I think seeing both sides of the coin, I'm able to realize when I'm getting that way. And even now at work, I can tell when I'm kind of falling back into that mindset, and I'm able to pull myself out of it.
So how do you do that? What do you do to keep yourself from sliding?
It's just recognition. I can recognize that I'm doing it, and
so
I stop.
Right, that's amazing. So you've.
It's a whole lot easier to stop it while you're sliding versus trying to climb back up the hill.
So I guess it's like you're climbing up the mountain, so now you can look back,
right,
and see how far you've come.
Right. Now I realize,
don't want to go back to where you were.
Right. Now I realize that, you know, the climb the mountain is very difficult, and it's not that it's physically difficult, it's just mentally exhausting and difficult. So if I can, you know, just strictly realizing when I'm doing something that I shouldn't be doing, I can stop myself. It's an amazing feeling.
So how do you think you can keep yourself from going back to that old self or that old tendency? You know, what do you think? What are your plans?
Well, now
moving forward from here on, like, what are you gonna try to work on to keep yourself from doing
so
that?
Obviously, you know, having a child is a very big deal, right? And I'll be honest, I mean, I have enough humility, I can admit I have no idea what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So
your baby's coming when?
Anytime now, any day.
Yeah.
So my biggest focus is admitting to myself and to God that I cannot do this on my own, that I'm not self-sufficient. I have no capability without Him. Is a big thing, and it keeps my other parts of my life in check. If I can remain humble and have humility in one aspect, it bleeds over to other aspects in my life. Even at work, I'm, you know, I try my hardest to be more humble and less arrogant. And I mean, I keep saying the word humble, but that's my biggest thing, is just trying my hardest to be humble.
So I guess the humility is knowing that nothing that you have was of your own doing.
Right.
If you have intelligence, it was not because you studied hard and you became intelligent. It was a gift.
Right. And actually, the biggest point of my humility came from the book of Job, when God finally came to Job and said, Not only do I do things that and control things that you know about, but I control the things that you don't even have awareness of. Like, I control things that you don't see.
Yeah.
So when I apply that to my own life, and I remind myself that God is all-knowing, and He's the source of wisdom, anything that I know or that I have comes from Him.
Yeah. So all your talents, your
everything,
skills.
Even the things that I don't know about myself, it comes from Him.
Yeah.
And right now, my biggest focus of prayer is trying to be a good dad. You know, that's, like I said, I have no idea what I'm getting into. I have no idea what I'm doing, but
yeah.
But I can admit that, and I hope that, and I know that He's going
to
be there.
Yeah, but it's also important to realize that I know we're all trying to be better people and doing our best, but we also have to realize that even our imperfections, God can use our imperfections for His purpose.
Right.
So we were created by God. So all of us, the whole of us, the good and the bad, was part of His creation.
Right. Well, it's the simple fact that if I didn't grow up with the gross fear of vomiting, this would not be as big of an issue for me, being sick. I mean, I don't have the same fear, but it's still ingrained in me that I hate doing it. You know. So if that wasn't a part of my life before, this would not have been applicable.
Plus, so even if you were to look back, I mean, you're young, so even if you look back this short period of your life, with the mistakes that you've made.
Mm-hmm.
There's really no shame in that, because
no.
who you are today, you became who you are today because of the even the mistakes
mm-hmm.
that you
right.
made in the past.
Right. And that's one thing, is that I wouldn't have met my wife if I didn't leave here. I wouldn't have, not that I wouldn't have met her, but I probably wouldn't have married her if I didn't leave the clinic. And I probably wouldn't have gained humility from working on the ambulance that I did, you know, realizing what actual suffering means to some people, you know. So even the things that seem bad in our lives, they serve the same purpose as the good stuff.
Yeah, and without having gone through the bad stuff, you probably wouldn't appreciate the good
right.
stuff.
Right. I mean, if you know, going months without eating, and when I say without eating, you know, going from a time where I could eat what I wanted to, and it sounds so silly, but you go from eating for pleasure
mm-hmm.
to eating because you have to
survive.
Right. And I know that I'm going to get sick when I eat this, but I have to eat it. I mean, it's going from that to a mindset where it's going to be okay. It's not possible without a higher purpose and a higher power.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. I mean, I've seen your growth over the past 3 years.
Yeah.
You're like a totally different person now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can say this because I know she'll probably hear, but if my wife would have met me when we first met, right, when I was working for you, there's no way she would have married me.
Yeah.
I was incredibly arrogant and incredibly, I took things for granted. I took everything for granted. You know, I mean, you name it, and I had it, so.
Yeah, I mean, you changed a lot.
Yeah.
No, so I've been through a similar situation where when someone noticed how much I've changed, my first reaction was, I'm so embarrassed that somebody knew how bad I was.
Right.
Only to realize later on that, well, I should actually be proud that people actually recognize how much I've changed. So,
well, and I think part of it is that I see my past self in other people, so I can recognize, and it's multifaceted, and it's beyond, it just proves that it's God's doing, is that I can recognize my past self in other people. And when I do that, it not only means that I've improved, but it means that I have humility because that was me, and now I'm not there anymore.
Yeah.
So not only do I not blame the person, but I have the feeling of empathy for them.
Yeah.
And it's not a bad thing. I'm not looking down on them, but I have the humility and the empathy to say that that was me, and that can be me again if I'm not careful.
Yeah, and obviously I'm older than you, and sad to say, there's gonna be more to come.
Right. Well, and that's part of.
There's gonna be more to come.
Well, that's part of what I was saying earlier, was that, you know, I think part of the purpose for me, you know, quote suffering, was, you know, without getting into the debate, it was preparing me for life's obstacles in the future, because if I hadn't come back to this point, there's no telling where I would be.
Yeah. And every time you feel you've conquered a mountain, there's another mountain
right.
for you to conquer.
Well, it's like Charles Stanley and James Griffin. You know, I listen to both of them, and they're both very good. They have both said, you know, you're either coming into a storm, in a storm, or going out of a storm. So, you know, it's not that this is over, but it's just a new lens.
It's just the beginning.
Right.
Because I can promise you once the devil knows that you've reached a certain level, the devil's job is to keep trying to take you away from God. And so
right, well,
the
like
challenge is going to be harder and harder. But the good thing is you have become stronger and stronger.
Right.
And so God will only allow stuff that you can handle.
Right.
And the challenges are going to be harder. I mean, you can almost bet on it.
Yeah, well, it's like I told you coming over here. I cut for this morning. I felt kind of like an imposter syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Like who am I to talk about, you know, my experiences? But at the end of the day, if it can help one person, it's worth it.
Yeah, the imposter syndrome thing is the devil's trying to discourage you so that you don't do this.
Right.
So, do you want to give some parting words?
Yeah, so whenever I was typing this, whenever I was typing out my outline, when I told you I wanted to do this, I was reading the Bible, you know, on the app for kind of some guidance, and a couple of certain scriptures came out, especially the one pertaining Lazarus, the story of Lazarus. You know, it says, "This sickness will not end in death. It is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified for it."
Mm.
So, you know, and like I said, I'm not trying to get into the debate of whether God allows suffering or not, but the simple fact that I suffered and it in turn results in eternal life alone is completely, it's unfathomable to my mind how it can be planned. And there's also, Jesus says in John chapter 11, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die." So even you can be trying just to do things on your own and be self-sufficient and you feel like nothing is working, you can still, at the flip of a switch, you can have life.
Mm.
And that's what I felt when I read Job, was that just instantaneous swap to eternal life. So that's kind of the basis of my story. And my story's not over.
Yeah, but we'll have a part two.
Yeah, we'll have a part two in a couple of years, but it was it has allowed me eternal life. So I can say that regardless of if it was, you know, people will tell me that it was not God that allowed my suffering, but it was the devil. You know, regardless of getting into all that, me being sick.
Well, the devil caused your suffering.
Right.
But God allowed
right.
it.
Right, and without getting into the whole debate,
yeah.
You know, my sickness ended in eternal life, period.
Right, because if, think about it this way, if this had not happened and you became more arrogant and more arrogant and super arrogant
right.
until it leads to your downfall,
right.
then
you know, I
would have ended up in a very bad position.
I consider myself saved early.
Right, yeah, God, certainly these things, you know, God saved you from what could have been.
Right, yeah.
Right. So.
And I can admit that, and like I said, being reeled back in from that, I have the humility to say, you know, for instance, I have a friend that we were friends before, and he went through a hard time, and people will blame him for that, but I have the humility to be able to say that as easily as it was him, it could have been me, and it can still be me if I'm
yeah.
not careful. So that's been my main focus as of the past, you know, since the new recognition.
Yeah. So so thanks, Colton, for your courage to share your story. It takes a lot of courage to be vulnerable and tell people about your shortcomings and your struggles. And this is part of how we serve God, you know. And serving God, we lose a part of ourselves so we can share it with other people, right?
Right.
It's like we're broken. We're like a vase that's broken into multiple pieces so that you can take each broken piece and share it with other people.
Yeah.
Until you're broken, it's hard to share a part of you.
Well, you have to start somewhere. You have to have the realization that something is wrong with yourself before you can try to fix yourself.
Yeah.
And if someone can look at what I've done and say, you know, I'm not going to do that, then that alone is worth it.
Right. And plus, as much as you've suffered, because I've seen you suffer, as much as you've suffered, it makes the suffering more worthwhile if you're able to use your suffering to do something good, right?
Right.
If your suffering ended there with just suffering,
right.
then it's meaningless, right?
Right. Right. And that,
so now,
that was my biggest turning point, was realizing that this suffering wasn't meaningless.
Right, and you're able to use your suffering to help a lot of people.
Right,
right. All right, so we'll end there. That was a amazing testimony on your part, and I'm sure a lot of people who listen to this will benefit from your story and from the lessons that you've learned. And we'll catch up again in the near future. I'm sure there'll be a part two to this story.
I'm sure there will be.
Okay. All right. Thank you for coming.